January 28th, 2019. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul. And I want to thank you for, I guess, subbing for Dave Allen today. Dave will be returning on Wednesday. So thank you, Butch.
You're more than welcome. This is always a pleasure for me, Melody. Your program is a breeze. I like talking to you. I like sharing the news. And the hour goes by so quickly.
Well, don't say it's a breeze or the listeners will think that, you know, this is such an easy thing to do when it really isn't.
Folks, she's right. It really isn't. You're going to have to order more stuff. She's having a hard time.
But we enjoy
it. I have fun with you anyway.
I know. And I have great. We have fun with the listeners, too. So let's go ahead and get started with a market report today. We have gold, you know, in the early morning trade, it was higher. We got up over 1,300 as the New York spot price market actually closed on Friday. It did bump it up over 1,300. So now we're in the second day of it being over 1,300. We still have another hour or so to go in this aftermarket trading in New York spot price. So it's up 40 cents today at 1,304. Just went up another couple pennies. So it's up 70 cents at 1,304.30. So it's just moving right along. Silver is up 2 pennies today at $15.83. Platinum was down 5 at 816. Palladium, not a good day for palladium, down 29 at $1,340. It's interesting because as we saw palladium rise up to these higher numbers, rhodium really wasn't doing much of anything. We've had this big reversal with palladium down a little over 2% today, and yet we saw rhodium up also $20 today. So, you know, they were kind of working opposite one another. So just doesn't mean anything. Nah, it's just an interesting little tidbit, something that I noticed that was a difference in trading.
One thing I have noticed, Melody, is the gold's up $200 an ounce over the last couple of months.
How about that?
There you go, folks. There you go.
Staying over 1,300 is a big deal. I can't imagine it breaking, but I said it before, so I'm not going to say it again. And because it seems like when I say it's not going to go below 1,300, you know, the powers to be pull out their rabbits, they're out of their hats, and can change things. But there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about today, and I think one of the most interesting ones is Venezuela. The USDX today is down 0.03 at 95.74. They're doing everything in their power to get him out of there. I saw they're going to put more sanctions, hoping to withstall any money going to Venezuela or going to Maduro so he can't pay the military, thinking that the military will then go against him. But, you know, that's a dangerous game down there playing.
And Trump, by the way, has brought up military options, too, which is even more dangerous.
You know, just here we are again, meddling in another country's affairs.
But I thought Trump's going to end the wars.
We've done everything before.
Exactly.
And it's the elite.
Yep.
It's the elite who wants in there.
And I thought Trump's going to end the wars, going to bring troops home. Now he's talking about going to Venezuela, and, you know, he was advised not to do that. It wouldn't be a good idea, but he actually brought up the option to send troops in there. That's all we need, another war for us to get involved in.
Well, it's a little different this time because now it's on basically on our shores. It's closer to our shores.
Well, it is closer, but they're no they're no threat to us. No nation has ever been a threat to us to speak of. You know?
Nope.
I mean, Maduro doesn't scare me at all.
Nope, not at all.
Amazing.
And so it's all kind of it's all very interesting. And the USDX today was down 0.03. I think I already said this, 95.74. Crude oil down 150 at 52.19. And the paper markets today, they dumped big and they stayed down there for most of the day. You have the Dow down 208 points. They did come back at one point in time. They were down 400 points. And, of course, they're blaming it all on Caterpillar. And it's funny because Friday it was Caterpillar was going to fare real good because of the trade agreement with China. That everybody, you know, Caterpillar was going to keep the Dow strong. Well, now today they're blaming Caterpillar is the one that pulled the Dow down nearly 400 points, but it did come back 200 points. The Dow is down 208, 24,528. The NASDAQ was down 80 points at 7,085, with the S&P down 20 at 2,643. I think treasuries, they had big bond sales, treasury sales, I think for the first couple of days this week, and they're looking to sell a boatload. They need a boatload of money. 10-year yield, 2.74%. And that's about pretty much. Bitcoin was down 3%. On the day. So the Treasury, as we're talking about Venezuela, they're announcing new economic sanctions against Maduro. The Treasury Department, I don't know if they've already announced it, but as soon as this afternoon, the report that I'm reading was just an hour ago, so I'm sure they're waiting for the markets to close in order to make this announcement. So as soon as this afternoon, they're looking to place significant actions to seize Maduro's wealth and to ultimately divert it to his opposition, according to two sources familiar with this planning. The Trump administration is trying to use economic and diplomatic pressure to push for this regime change, and they're hoping to deprive him of cash.
Well, so do you think it ties into the fact that they want to sell their gold to Russia?
Well, you know, I did a little bit of researching on that, and I think it's more to it than that. I think it has a lot to do with the oil. I think it has a lot to do with, and Venezuela is trying to get back its $550 million worth of gold back from the Bank of England. I think it has more to that. Than the actual mining, because if he gets this money back from England, I think it's approximately they want them to repatriate about 15 tons of gold, and this is according to Reuters. They don't want Maduro to have that, so I think the sanctions are there to keep this from happening, because I guess our administration is, you know, so it's probably a combination of everything.
It's an unstable too, because like I said Trump floated the idea of a military option, and actually Lindsey Graham kind of talked him out of it. Graham said that Trump said, "What do you think about a military force?" And Graham said, "Well, you need to go slow on that. That could be problematic." And then Trump said, "Well, I'm surprised you want to invade everybody." So, and Graham laughed, said, "I don't want to invade everybody. I only want to use the military when our national security interests are threatened." Well, I know Graham's lying for sure, but Trump again floated the option of military intervention here, it's none of our business to start with.
No.
But it's just another hotspot going on, and we see Iran now threatening to go on the offensive. Anybody would threaten Iran, I mean, no matter who it is, they're threatening about going on the offensive. What could that mean? What does the Bible say in Matthew 24 about wars and rumors of wars everywhere? Kingdom against kingdom and, you know, nation against nation. Melanie, we're seeing a bull all over the world, are we not?
We truly are.
You know, and this should concern us all. Like I said, this is more or less on our doorstep, and that's true. But again, it's really none of our business. They had an election, and I understand it's fair from what everybody's told me. So I don't know. But the country's in a mess. So we go in there and make it worse?
You know, I just saw a headline. I'm not sure where it's coming from because I can't get to it. But it says Maduro is trying to talk with Trump.
Really?
So, yeah. So, but I can't bring up that information for some reason. I can't get to it. It's ABC News, so I'll try to get to it. Interesting though. What do you think the North Korean president is thinking while all of this is going on? You know, one of his biggest concerns is if he was going to denuclearize. He didn't want to end up like the guy in Libya, Gaddafi.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So now we got Venezuela going on. Now what do you think he's thinking?
Well, which nation in the world can really trust us, Melody? Now, look at our record. If you go by our past record, I wouldn't trust us for good morning. I mean, how many people have we set up and took down or moved out and moved somebody else in through the CIA and other ops have done that over a lot of years? We have been meddling up people's business in this nation for well over 100 years. And so who can trust the U.S.? I'm just saying that real clearly. Who can trust the U.S.? I certainly wouldn't trust them. I don't care who's in office. Obama lied, Clinton lied, Bush lied, Trump lied. That's just the way it is. When you get over it, you can get mad. I don't care. It's just the way it is. I don't trust any of them. In no administration since I've been alive would I trust. I thought I could under Reagan or whatever, and got to looking at what he did behind the scenes when I was still kind of ignorant, realized he was just as bad as the rest of them. He just talked differently. Isn't that right?
I'll tell you, the one person I wouldn't trust is Lindsey Graham.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody has forgotten the picture. I saw the picture today. It was him, Rubio, and McCain. They were all shaking hands with all the folks over there in Libya, and shortly thereafter, all things fell apart. You can't trust any of these. And Rubio is supporting Trump on this with Venezuela, and it's just like, no, it's none of our business to go in there and do a regime.
But don't worry, whenever Clinton and Cortez team up to run for president, we got it made.
And you know what? I saw an interesting comment. I believe, I don't know if I can find it here. And, we say that Venezuela's problem is all about socialism and so forth. And this comment by someone, I'm not even quite sure who it is, because I would give the credit, but he's talking about it wasn't socialism alone that created the problem in Venezuela. It was part of it, but there's been decades of sanctions and meddling. Now, I'm not sure where this person's coming from, but have proven to be an unbelievably effective at hurling their economy into a whirlwind of chaos, which collapsing their currency and cutting them off from the rest of the world. Well, to some degree, that's true, and they wouldn't have gotten in that position if it wasn't for the socialism and the price of oil dropping. They didn't have any backup. They did have some gold, but certainly not enough to, and they had to sell it in order to keep them going. So it is always, a bigger picture. And this is what happens when you get people meddling and so forth. Countries can't get themselves out of their problems. And so socialism is a major part of it, but there's also other factors that go
sure.
into it.
Well, I mean, we have meddled, like I said, and I'm sure the nations have too, but America is probably the worst in the world to meddle in other nations' businesses.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is, and I don't want to say about that. We'll probably already beat to death, but just the way it is. Things are not looking good. Maduro may, I doubt it, but the army doesn't back him. He has no choice but step down. We'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, and then this person goes on and comments. He says, there's been massive amounts of money that has been spent, U.S. money that's been spent on media distortion, sabotage, military coups, threats, all through the Chavez-Maduro era. Yeah, but we know this goes on. We report this, we report sure. it as it goes along and everything. So, again, it's the same.
It is. It really is. It truly is. Can I reminisce with you a little bit on something here I think you'll find interesting? This is back more in the
yes.
financial line. I think you'll find it interesting, Melody.
Okay.
This is before you and I were born, 1941, in a little diner in New York. There's a picture here of the menu on the wall, and people sitting at the bar eating. Remember the old chrome and red stools you used to have?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, well, this has got all that. And two glasses of tea were 10 cents. Okay, how much is a dime worth today? Silver dime worth today, roughly.
A little over a buck.
Okay, and a hamburger was 9 cents. Now let this sink in. A bottle of milk was 7 cents. Piece of pie mm-hmm. was 10 cents. I mean, what I'm saying is, look at the difference between then and there. And I know this has been a lifetime ago. That's not the point. But the point of it should make sense, everybody. We're losing ground financially because of inflation. Melanie, that is just as plain as it can be, is it not?
Yes, it is.
I don't know how to make it simpler than that. When you could buy a hamburger for 10 cents, I remember McDonald's sold hamburgers for 10 cents a piece back in the 50s. And we didn't have them around here, but I know they have them other places. For 10 cents a piece. You still buy them there for a buck. They're called Junior Burger or something. But the issue is just did. That's what went up 1,000% in value because of inflation. There's not less hamburgers. It's not like there's a need for to ration the hamburgers. It's just that your so-called money is dropping daily in value. That is phenomenal. I just had to share it with you. I mean, those old pictures kind of fascinate me anyway to look at and think about back then. But for less than a dime, you get a hamburger. That has been a while back, has it not?
It's always interesting to go back in time. I love the old Post magazines, the Look magazines, the magazines that are in the 40s and 50s and even the 60s to some degree, but not so much as in the 50s. And you look at these prices of what people would buy for meat and hamburgers. People ate steaks back then. I rarely ever remember eating hamburger when I was a kid. I mean, that was basically a hamburger is when our parents took us out, when we went mm-hmm. to McDonald's. But I don't ever remember my mother cooking it, rarely. It was always roasts and beef and, things like, steak. It was still affordable. And we weren't wealthy.
No. Well, eating out for us when I was growing up was really a rare thing. It really was.
It was with us, too. Yeah.
Very rare, maybe a couple times a year. And we stopped and got the Coke once in a while, but not very often. That just wasn't done. We raised most of our own food and took care of ourselves, which is kind of a novel nowadays, I guess. But that's what we did. Had our own chickens, and our own beef, and had a garden. We more or less fed ourselves. And my grandpa had milk and stuff, so we pretty much just were independent. Had to buy flour and salt and sugar, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But another issue, too, financially, the U.S. Treasury is set to borrow $1 trillion for the second time in 2 years. $1 trillion borrowed. Melly, is it constitutional for the Treasury to have to borrow money from the Fed? Is that constitutional?
I wouldn't think it would be.
No, it isn't, obviously. the Congress was to mint the money and set the value thereof. They didn't borrow the money from the Fed. Oh, people, we have been so sucked into this system, it's unbelievable.
And we're being sucked into the break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, I promise.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And let's see. Oh, we have a guest tomorrow, Butch.
We do. Who we got?
We're going to have Greg Hunter on tomorrow.
Oh, great. Okay. All right.
Yes.
I like listening to Greg.
Yeah. Yes.
I listen, Greg.
And so he will be here tomorrow. So listeners, make sure you write that time down and join us. He did a great interview with over this weekend, and it's with John Williams. And
hey, that was my next article.
Well,
John Williams was my next topic. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well. I'm sure Greg Hunter will be talking about him tomorrow, and he is, really has some interesting things, confirming what we talk about here on a daily basis.
Sure.
About, what the Fed, how they're going to crash the markets and the dollar, and where he expects gold.
Can I share some with you? Can I share some that I found, if you don't mind?
Don't share too much. We're going to go over it again tomorrow.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sure Hunter will cover a lot more than I could even think about. But said the Fed will crash markets and the dollar. Economist John Williams warns the Federal Reserve has painted itself into a very tight corner, a no-win corner. No matter what the Fed does with its rates, it's going to be a disaster, Williams explains. You had some very heavy selling towards the end of the year, and when you saw the big declines in the stock market, you also saw that accompanied by falling dollar and rising gold prices. That was foreign capital, which was significant fleeing our markets. So if the Fed continues to raise interest rates, and still don't have rates where they want them, it's going to be intensify the economic downturn. That's going to hit the stock market. If they stop raising rates and they have to go back to come to some sort of quantitative easing, that's going to hit the dollar hard. Foreign investors are going to say the dollar is going to get weaker, and let's get out of the dollar. Then you're going to see heavy selling in the stock market. So either way, they create a conundrum for themselves because of the way they pulled bail out the banking system back in 2008-2009. At this point, they don't have any easy way out of this. And I totally agree with that. I really do. Now,
they're between a rock and a hard place. There isn't anything they could do. I mean, it all really did. I mean, there was previous recessions where they bailed us out with debt, but the granddaddy of them all was after 2008, and what they did in order to do the big bailouts, and these are just trillions of dollars that are going into the economy just to keep the system going. It's no different than what Europe is doing. It's no different than what Japan is doing. It's no different than what China's doing. They're pumping money into these markets, trillions of dollars, and they can't stop. As soon as they begin to stop, the system is going to fall apart. But how much longer can they continue to stimulate with trillions of dollars? I can't imagine it's going to be, because they have to pay that. It's money that can't be paid back. Sure,
hey,
we talk about money being printed, but that but that money that they're printing, you know, comes at a cost. And
that all that does is cause more inflation.
Exactly. So
it's a catch-22.
It truly is. And
not only that, they found that Japan has, as says Tokyo, missed 40% of this economic data is fake news. They're making up their own news in Japan about how good the economy is in Japan. I can share it with you if you want. But Japan has been lying about its economy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it says, when it comes to the biggest monetary experiment in modern history, namely Japan's QE, which had been the BOJ buying up enough Japanese bonds to match GDP of Japan, there's nothing more important than BOJ having accurate metrics to determine if its inflation targeting is working, i.e. if wages and broader inflation are rising. Alas, the recent news that Japan's labor ministry published erroneous statistics for years has raised doubt about not only the accuracy of the economic analysis released by the Bank of Japan, but prompted investors to doubt absolutely every economic report published by Tokyo. Wow, Mel, that's big. That's a biggie. They've been lying for years, and they caught up to it finally, and no one trusts them.
Is it any different than our U.S. government?
No, it isn't.
In fact, they probably got instructions from the U.S. on how to do it.
Well, it says 40% of the 56 key government economic releases turning out to be fake news, and it is needed to be corrected. Well, as you stated, we are doing that every day. But Japan does it and gets caught, and it's brought to the forefront. We do it. No one says anything about it. It's amazing.
It really
is. But the whole world's in the same boat, I'm trying to say. Italy is now going to start handing out free money. You know, something like UBI. Italy is going to start handing out free money. Where in the world do you find free money? If it's free, it's not money. Money is a value. Obviously, it's of no value, but Italy is going to start handing out free money in the form of UBI to help the... everybody's going to get it. But the poor ones, you know, the poor people need it the most. It'll level the playing field somewhat and slice the differences between the wealthy and the poor. But Italy's playing with free money. We know Finland's trying that. Other nations trying that. And Japan's lying about the economic situation they're in. The whole world is going to implode financially, and it's going to happen, Mel. There's no way around it. They have to do it. They're going to have to put all the stops and let it fall and then rebuild it, are they not? If they're going to make it worth, they're going to have to rebuild it. That's all there's to it.
That's very true. It's very true.
It's not the United States. It's everywhere. They're all doing the same thing. Free money. We call it welfare here and other things. They call it free money. Well, you keep handing it out and hand out, think we'll fix the problem by the government giving more money out that they never produced in the first place. And it's worth this fiat currency that causes risk to pay more. They increase their taxes to say to cover it when they don't even use their taxes for that. This is a fraud and a complete scam on the American people and the people of the world. But very few catch it.
I don't want to change topics, but I just wanted to make this quick little announcement here. I guess this is just in, well, it looks like it was published, but it was updated 7 minutes ago. But I guess the Treasury did sanction Venezuela's state-owned oil firm in bid to transfer control to Maduro opposition. The state-owned energy company is PDVSA, and so that will... the sanctions are aimed to transfer control of Venezuela's oil wealth to the forces that oppose Maduro. So,
but if it's state-owned, so this, mm-hmm. they're going to take a state-owned property and give it to the other guy, is what you're saying, right?
That's what the sanctions, they just call it Treasury sanctions. Of course, they never give you the details on, you know, the sanctions, what the sanctions are. But here it is. The sanctions against PDVSA will prevent the nation's oil wealth. Well, we know that. So it doesn't really go into detail as far as what these actual sanctions will be, except it's against the oil company. We know that Citgo, PDVSA, Citgo Refines are in the U.S. They're going to be allowed to continue to operate, but revenues must be placed in an escrow account in the United States. Citgo operates three U.S. refineries with a combined ability to process about 750,000 barrels per day of crude into fuels. Venezuela's oil production cratered in recent years following a long stretch of mismanagement. Venezuela remains a large supplier of heavy crude to the U.S. refineries. Venezuela, through October, shipped an average of 500,000 PBDs of crude oil in 2018. And of course, the confirmation of the administration's intent to sanction PDVSA came, of course, from Senator Rubio. He's disgusting, too. He's disgusting, too. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. And it's always interesting because here you have this oil company, state-owned, it's nationalized, it's owned by Venezuela, and they have three refineries in the United States. They process about 750,000 barrels per day of crude oil into fuels. But we also know that Saudi Arabia owns the largest U.S. refinery in the United States. So sometimes you just can't help wonder what the end goal really is. Is it so, I don't know, can the Saudis come in and take over these other three refineries? Don't know. I don't know how all that would work, but just interesting.
How do you think that's going to, how's that going to affect the reaction, I think, the market here that we're doing that?
I think most people see the you know, again, they use the propaganda, they use the people, they show all these pictures of people starving, all the news reports from then until now that the people are suffering and so forth. So they condition the people into saying, well, yeah, those people need to be taken care of, and maybe this is a good thing that we're going down there and putting the pressure on, and so we can get new leadership in there, even though the guy, I guess, wasn't actually, I don't know if he actually went through an election. He just says, I'm your new president. And, you know, I'm being backed by the United States to take over. So, I mean, I really don't know all the details there. So public opinion probably thinks this might be a good idea, unless you see some sort of, you know, additional comments coming from Russia or China. China's, I think, been quiet about Venezuela, but I think Russia's been a little more vocal. So... You know,
Russia,
as long as gasoline,
not to go in there. Russia warned us not to go in there. They did.
Militarily.
Yes, they did.
So this isn't really a military action unless it affects the military leaders, because now they're not going to get their money. And so I don't know. But public opinion is, you know, help the people. And if you have to replace this dictator and, you know, this Maduro, who is the bad guy, they paint him as the bad guy, just like Assad. They paint him as the bad guy. Look what they did to Saddam Hussein. Yeah, yes. They probably weren't good guys. You know, but sometimes
Gaddafi,
it's bad
also.
Guys.
Gaddafi,
yeah.
Same way.
Yeah. Well, Gaddafi, yeah. And that's what they do. And they get public opinion. And once they have public opinion and the support, they can go in there and do anything.
Well, I do remember pictures of Hussein and the people in the streets there. He'd walk down the streets, no bodyguards. They had guns for sale in the streets, AK-47s laying in the streets for anybody to buy. Now, that's a fact. I saw them there. He had no bodyguards, and they had guns all around him. I don't know if it's a stage picture or not, but he didn't make too afraid to walk among the people, and the restriction on the people of buying, keeping arms is, you know, obviously open because there's some right in the streets laying on the sidewalks selling the guns. And Gaddafi, from what I've read about him, was a man who tried to give his people good things, and people seemed to love him. He would ride down the street in a topless car. Oh, I just know that if our government says they're evil...
Are we losing Butch?
Still there?
Yeah, now you are.
Am I there?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know what happened. But anyway, so I'm not saying Maduro is a good guy, but again, we're stepping over our bounds on this again, as usual.
But sometimes these bad guys need to keep things in that area. That's what Hussein did. He basically kept a lot of order in that area for, you know, but, you know, and again, I'm not saying these are great guys. They're not, you know, but... We need to mind our own business. One more thing, and then I'm going to let you go on. Pelosi invites Trump to hold the State of the Union on February 5th. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi invited President Donald Trump to give the State of the Union address on February 5th. So there you go. Did we lose Butch again?
What's the reason? I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now I can, but you do keep keep losing you. That's all that sets.
I mean, everything shows them working my end, but anyway.
Yeah. That's all that's.
Why did she do that? What's the purpose?
It's a breaking story. Hmm. It's in the process of being developed. So. I do want to say one more thing.
She jerks around like a puppet, but.
I just want to say one more thing.
Okay.
We've got Schultz, the Starbucks owner. I guess he is going to be running in the 2020 election, but as an independent. And I don't like the guy. But you know, he makes a lot of money on selling coffee. So, hey, but he says the biggest threat.
He says the biggest threat is
our debt.
Well, no doubt, but he kicked me out. He kicked me out of his coffee houses. He literally uninvited me and all Christians. He said Christians are not welcome in my coffee houses.
Yeah, he did do that.
So I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
No, he's nasty.
He did do that. I promise, he did do that.
Oh, I do believe that.
Oh,
he's nasty.
He truly is.
But he's running. But the only thing I am going to point out is that he thinks that the national debt is the greatest threat domestically to this country.
Well,
and I do agree with that.
Domestically, yes.
Yep.
I do too. If we get everything back morally, maybe we get that fixed. But you may have saw this. Portland, Maine is having a problem. What the problem is? They offered sanctions for asylum seekers, and now they have too many and they can't handle it. They said, we got to find other ways to take care of this, because 90% of the people living in Portland City run family shelters and overflow, and 90% of them are asylum seekers. And they've offered pro bono lawyers for these people, and they're overwhelmed and can't keep up with it, so they're asking other communities to take some of these people out there. They open their doors to anybody who wants to come in as an asylum seeker, and now they have just about taken the city down because of that. It says the word is out that our community is open to that population and has some assistance programs. Said David McLean, administrator of Portland Social Service Division. Our local resources are not able to keep up. Well, duh. Melly, when you start throwing out free food and gifts, guess what you're going to attract?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're going to attract people that definitely come in there for the free food and gifts. I can throw a handful of corn in my front yard, and by tomorrow morning I have all kinds of deer out there. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Yes, it is.
So you give away free stuff, they're going to show up. Go ahead.
It truly is, and sometimes these cities... Yes, I can. Lots of times, a lot of these cities actually advertise because they want federal money. And it only helps them for a little bit. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Tell me again tonight. Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System. To today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I only have two little reports, and I'm just going to let Pastor Butch go because we're having audio problems today. Not let him go, but let him go to talk. I don't want you going anywhere, Butch.
Okay. I'll try to hang in here.
I just want to go over the market prices today. So finally, we're above gold, over $1,304 for gold. Up, still got 20 minutes to go in the open market. New York spot price up 40 cents. Silver's up $15.82. Platinum was up or down $6 at $815, and palladium was down 30 at $1,339. And I just wanted to make one more report, if I can find it here. The United States is, again, this is also breaking news that, and I think this is important in relationship to the Chinese and the U.S. Relationship in finishing and completing the trade agreement. We're trying to come up with the trade issues for the tariffs, because they're running on a deadline. I think that's March 1st. This is not going to help that situation. The U.S. Department of Justice did file extradition paperwork with the Canadian authorities today for Meng Wanzhou, and she is the chief financial officer of the Chinese tech giant Huawei. And I'm sure I'm not pronouncing these properly, but and she is the daughter of the founder. So these they announced these charges today against the tech giant for allegedly stealing trade secrets from T-Mobile. And these charges stem from a civil trade secrets lawsuit that was filed by T-Mobile in 2014 over a robot called Tappy, which was used in testing smartphones. So again, you have to ask yourself, where is this heading? And how is this going to help to complete the trade talks with China? Because China was very much against this, of having her extradited to the U.S. So, interesting.
Yes, it is. It is. Some more games to play. Some more drama to bring out. To keep people glued to the TV sets. What's
yes,
going to happen
is.
On as the world turns tomorrow? You know, I mean, it's like watching a soap opera after a while. It really is. Only problem is, it's real.
If they don't do this trade agreement and the tariffs are socked on to the, it's another sign that March is going to be a nasty month with the debt ceiling coming due and everything. So again, this is all positive for gold.
It is.
I mean, this is the bottom line, and it doesn't seem like anyone is truly in control. But so, Butch.
What? Another precious metal? Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Didn't palladium used to outdistance gold quite a bit?
No. Gold outdistanced palladium.
Okay, I thought it did. Okay.
Or you're talking about platinum.
Okay, then I had it backward. That's all right.
Platinum.
I'm sorry, platinum. Yes, platinum. I'm sorry. Yes, platinum. Yes.
Platinum
okay.
usually
all right,
had
I just
was want
to make sure I had all this straight in my head.
Yes, platinum was usually higher than gold, and palladium was the lowest of them all, and now palladium is the highest of them all.
And, that's amazing. By the way, I guess you heard how global warming is going to hit Chicago here next day or so.
60 below warm.
You hear that?
Yes.
60 below. Yeah, global warming's coming fast to Chicago. They'll probably start planting palm trees next week. And it's supposed to get really cold here, but on top of the almost could be record highs in Chicago. Okay? Now, what really got my attention, in Chicago, police are reporting gunpoint robberies targeting people wearing pricey Canada Goose jackets as temperatures plunge in the city. Over the past 2 weeks, police say there's been a spate of the thefts in which people wearing the luxury coats have been targeted and forced to give up the jackets. The coats can cost upward of $1,000 and often overseen on celebrities. Six people had their Canada Goose coats stolen last week, and two more were targeted Wednesday. You're walking down the streets of Chicago, Melody. You're wearing a nice coat. Be careful. You might get robbed. I mean, this is America today. What can I say?
It's really dangerous, 60 below. So our listeners up there, please, you know, be careful. It only takes 5 minutes to get frostbite. So it's
But you don't want to steal somebody's coat, though, do you?
No, you don't. It's a lot different than 20 below. So
yes, it is. It really is. And I was complaining about being cold here, but a cousin who lives up in New York is my uncle's daughter, and my uncle's not doing well. She came down over the weekend. They had 4 foot of snow up there where they are over the weekend, over the last 2 or 3 days. And we have nothing here, so I'm not complaining about the weather down here in West Virginia right now. But back to Trump and what's happening with Trump. The conservatives are now mad at Trump because they say he caved on the wall. I would like your opinion on Melody. Did he cave on the wall? Did he give in to bring peace so Pelosi could get off his back? Why did he give in to that?
I don't think he caved. I think what he did was he saw, this is my personal opinion, I think he saw his ratings drop. I think he saw all these other issues coming due, Venezuela, our debt. I think all these trade agreements with China, we still don't have NAFTA passed. There's a lot of big things that are happening. And with his, we got an election, you know. So, no, I don't think, I think he did it. And I do think in 3 weeks, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't pull some sort of an emergency. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I don't think Pelosi got the best of him yet.
Well, this is what some of the conservative pundits are saying. Conservatives had a quick message to President Donald Trump after that.
Do you?
No, I don't. Not really. No, I don't. I see his reasoning here. But according to... No, not yet. But good news for George Herbert Walker Bush is that today he's no longer the biggest wimp ever to serve as president of the United States. Donald Trump is, says Ann Coulter. Nancy Pelosi is alpha, tweeted conservative filmmaker Mike Genovich. And right-wing commentator Michael Malice's opinion, apparently a wall isn't as good as a cave. Conservative outlets from the Drudge Report to Breitbart News also blasted headlines in dramatic font declaring Trump caved with no wall. I don't think that's what happened. I really don't. I think there's a lot more to it than that. That may be part of it, but that's only a small part of it. But as you mentioned, Pelosi says Trump wants to change Trump's date from doing the State of the Union address, move it forward a week. So I don't know about that. I'm just wondering the reason why she would do that at this point in the game.
Well, you know
what? Between this week
he
and
didn't
week.
Open the government without talking to her. Okay?
That's very true.
He didn't open it without talking to her and Schumer. So this could have been part of the deal. Knowing his personality, you can't deny he is a big personality. This State of the Union address is important to him. And but I think it was a mistake by her. You know, now she might think that she might have got what she wanted by thinking that everybody thinks that he caved, but he's got free rein now on February 5th to say whatever he wants to say. And I think she'll figure out that she made a mistake. she should have at least waited until after the immigration situation was a done deal on both that, you know, until that was completed. But that's just my thoughts.
Well, you know, you have to wonder if maybe they're not trying to make him look even more like a wimp by doing this. I don't know. I really don't know. There's so much happening that makes no sense anymore. That's hard to keep up with. But now I know Trump is hiring a lawyer that was Clinton's impeachment lawyer. He's hiring a lawyer. He's going to replace Ty Cobb with a guy named, I'm trying to find his name here and make sure I got it right here. Emmett Flood, yes.
That was a long time ago he replaced him.
Well, this is the recent news here that he just decided to take him up here to as an impeachment lawyer. I thought he wasn't too worried about impeachment. I don't understand. If you're not worried about it, why would he want to bring in a lawyer that Clinton had about impeachment? I don't get it. I mean, is he really afraid this could happen?
I don't know.
Makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it? Seriously. I mean, why hire somebody to step in and do that if you don't think it's going to happen?
Well, I don't think that attorney for Clinton did a very good job. He was impeached.
I don't either. Obviously, he was impeached.
he was impeached. So. I've heard where there was comments where they would impeach Trump in the same manner as Clinton, but not throw him out of office, just tie his hands.
Impeach him with no teeth in it, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay, that would maybe embarrass him a little bit. But Trump has got a huge ego. That he has got. He's not lacking for ego, obviously. But you know, again, this is, since he's been in office, I have to give him credit for drawing a lot of fire. He certainly has. Whether it's a facade and it's all a game or it's for real, he's drawn a lot of fire. And every day, no matter what he says, they pick at the pieces. A week or so ago, he had that dinner. Remember, I think it was for the veterans or whatever, and he had a bunch of hot dogs and hamburgers stuff there for him to eat, fast food.
It's for a college team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he said that we have hamburgers there stacked up, like a million hamburgers there, and they're cutting in the news that, well, he lied. I mean, come on. If that's all you got to report against a man, he exaggerated the food supply. I mean, that's ridiculous. It really is. But that's when the news media will take anything to harm anybody with, but they don't like him. And that's, this face of Trump's drawn a lot of fire from the news media. Has for a long time.
He really has. And again, I mean, I agree. I mean, what the media has done, I mean, you know, with the it is 24/7 against Trump, and that is wrong. But on the other hand, I don't understand, and I love Trump for, like you said, firing up everything. But on the other hand, all the things that he tweets, if he didn't tweet, we probably wouldn't have a Mueller investigation.
No, that's true.
So
that's true.
His tweeting also has created and opened the door for the media to go in this direction. So, and they've done it nonstop, you know. Doesn't make either, you know, it doesn't, but anyway.
Well, it is what it is. But as I watch all this unrest happening, I'm still amazed that the market has done as well as it has. And I think people had a lot of hope that when Trump got in that things would change for the whole country economically. And a lot of good faith was started, a lot of good feelings started. Obviously, people started feeling good because of him. And I'm not knocking that. That's okay. They did. And businesses started opening, and I hope they're prospering. And I know since he got in, we have several coal mines are open here in the state of West Virginia. And people are working again more than they were. So that's all good. It really and truly is wonderful. I love to see that. But it's just, to me, it's like they're building on cards. The house of cards is going to collapse again. And it's going to be worse than it was the last time. With the economy the way it is, with everything teetering on the brink in all directions, not only here but around the world, Melody, they can't keep this thing going up and up and up on without a foundation. Something's going to have to give up money pretty soon. And if people aren't prepared for this, it's really going to hurt them big time. If they're in debt, they have no savings of any kind, even paper savings. Nothing is saved for hard times. I don't know. I just don't get it. I mean, how they going to make it? I mean, they're people make decent income, they'll say, then they spend their penny of it in debt looking for the future to pay it off. That is a bad economic move, no matter how young you are, or no matter what time of, no, in history it is, to go in debt up to your eyeballs with everything that you make is not a good move, is it?
No, it isn't. And everything that we see, you know, they're all distractions to cover up the one major problem that we have that will take this country to her knees, and that's the debt.
Absolutely.
And everybody knows it, except the people of the country that follow the distractions. They're not paying any attention to what's really important, and that's what it's all about. Are these distractions any less important? Well, you know, they're the distractions that will create the debt collapsing. And so these are all symptoms of debt. And it's just not our debt anymore. It's debt around the world. We're so interconnected. So,
and,
you know,
and
what happens...
Be trusted. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I'm going to say, when you're not safe walking down the street of Chicago with a coat on, because it's a special kind of coat. People steal that for the cash, whatever they get, their drugs, whatever. It's an unstable society. If the economy does collapse now, then what's going to happen to the people then?
Well, I hope the people are insured with their gold and silver, and I hope they bought it from Discount Gold and Silver. Give us a call if you haven't. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We'll be returning tomorrow with Greg Hunter as our guest. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. That's too bad.